We're going to try to make it where we have two mics, one for the video going home and one for the audio. So anyway, good job today, Scott. Torah portion Balak is full of meat. You could spend hours on it. A lot of different things that you could take out of it. And what I decided to do today is we're going to talk about the spirit of divination. It kind of ties in with, well, it does tie in with Balaam. And I'm going to do my very best to not go back over any of the stuff that Scott already talked about, but I really felt like this is something we need to talk about, because too often we read these stories about what they went through in the desert, and it was the 3,500-year-old story, and we read it, and then we move on. And I would suggest to you, as we read last week, that they were recorded for our benefit so that we would learn from them. But I would suggest to you that the spirit of divination is alive and well in America today. And divination, we have been trained in this country to believe, is all about tarot cards, psychic readings, and Ouija boards. And that's just a small part of it. So we want to get into a little bit of that today. Reality is we're in exile, right? I mean, this is where God planted this. So there's nothing wrong with it. He chose to put us here. It's America, but it's exile. It's not our future home. But at this point in the desert, they're not in their future home yet either. So what they're going through quite often is what we go through, and that's what we want to talk about. You know, Scott mentioned a couple places in the New Testament, three places it's mentioned about the error of Balaam or the sin of Balaam. It's worth paying attention to. He's actually mentioned some 15 or 20 times throughout the scriptures. Never once is there anything good said about Balaam, is there? But what I really appreciate about your Torah portion today is there's so many little hidden things, because the first time reading a lot of these portions, we feel like, well, that was unfair. You know, I remember the first time somebody stood up in our group, because we welcomed questions at the time, it was more of like just a round the table. And they said, well, you know, I'd complain too if I had to eat the same thing every day. We're just being honest. We're just sharing our opinions. And there's a lot of times where the first time we read it, it seems unfair. Or it seems like he didn't get a fair treatment on this. But I like how you outlined some of the things, Scott, and you did a good job on that. So real quickly, what was the primary sin of Balaam? And Scott alluded to this. It was basically the love of gain from wrongdoing. It was also causing people to eat food sacrificed to idols and practicing sexual immorality. So I would suggest to you today that that's going on in a slightly different look, but it's the same exact thing, and this is why we need to pay attention. Here's the problem. If you ask people, what do they like about church? They're usually going to be like I was 10 years ago. Well, I like the music, or he's a really interesting pastor, or he makes things relevant. And you know, it doesn't step on our toes. It's comfortable. So basically what we're saying is we want something that's comfortable for us. So how did that go for the true prophets of Israel? The true prophets of Israel suffered one of three things: extreme rebuke, being chased out of town, or killed. One or the other one. When was the last time a true prophet of God was elevated when he was alive? Doesn't happen, does it? So let's see what we can learn from him. Balak knew about the reputation of this guy. See, we know about the reputation of many people, but we turn to look the other way. Yeah, but they do some good things, but they feed people. But, you know, they really help the addicted people. We can make excuses all we want, but the bottom line is if you're not speaking the word of God fully and completely without any reservation, you're no better than Balaam. Doing a partial preaching of God's word or a partial teaching of his word mixed in with a little bit of junk is like we had that example a few months back. One rotten egg mixed in with 11 perfect eggs, you're still going to get a rotten cake. And it's no different here. Balaam, it's hard to say what he was before Balak sent to him, right? Because when you first hear this story, it's like, wow, he's hearing the voice of God, so how corrupt can he be? That was the way I used to think. But the bottom line is he actually was able to see an angel with a sword drawn. He heard his donkey talk to him, and it doesn't appear to me like he was all that wigged out. An animal starts talking to me, I'm going to get freaked out. I'm just being honest. I got a Yorkie. Doesn't have a mean boat in his body. He starts talking, I'm going to run. Okay, I'm just telling you. He seems to be okay with it. Balaam saw more than most of us will ever see. Now, that's not a criticism, but I'm saying, like, he heard the word of the Lord over and over and over, at least in what we read. But yet, he ran the race in error, and he ended up killing, for all practical purposes, 24,000 of the Israelites. So why do we make so many excuses for people? Because there are false prophets just like him everywhere. They're all around us. They're in our own towns. They're all across the country. They're all on the internet. But we make excuses for them. Why embrace those that God is so displeased with? See, Balaam was involved with greed, disobeying God's word, divination, basically, which is witchcraft, all wrapped up into one. And he was trying to curse a people for money, which no matter how you look at it, if you're going to curse a people or a group or an individual for the gain of money, you're mad. You've lost your mind. You've gone to the dark side. Doesn't matter whether it's 3,500 years ago or it's 2022. See, Balaam went off into the desert hoping to be able to work his divination for the prophet that was promised to him. When you hear the word of the Lord clearly three times plus, four or five times actually, yet you still try to get around it, you're mad by any definition. But today's false prophets are no less mad, are they? They're spewing the same garbage that was spewed years, thousands of years ago. And we're going to take a look at it. The spirit of divination is alive and well. The word of God says that this will happen to those who practice. And it's all over the Bible. If you just do a Google search of what does the Bible say about divination, you're going to find probably 70 or 80 verses. And these three things seem to happen to a lot, if not all of them, in those verses. We're told it's an abomination to God. We're told they will be cut off from Israel, or we're told they'll be stoned and killed. Basically, it's a death penalty. But we think it's okay if we embrace these people who give partial truths because they're really nice people, and they do some good in the world. If you're not speaking the word of the Lord, then whose word are you speaking? Whose word are you speaking? Hasatan, absolutely. See, Satan will try to draw you away from God's pure, unadulterated word. His word alone is what we need to be speaking, what we need to be teaching, what we need to be meditating on. And this is where religion has been the cause of more problems worldwide than anything else. Because religion is walking away from God's word and creating a man-made doctrine that's loosely based on God's word sometimes. And we run into problems. See, Satan is okay with being 95% God's word. He's okay with that because he just knows if he just is that one rotten egg in there, he's got you. This is why I talked about discernment a few weeks back, and it's so critical, yet so few people have it. And here's the scariest part, in my opinion. The word of Satan is spoken forth by many people who have some relationship with God. You know, Balaam at first appeared to have a relationship with God. Now, when I studied further and deeper, I don't agree with that. I agree exactly with what Scott said. But your first appearance is like, hey, God's talking to him. He's seeing this vision. God opened his eyes to the angel. This is all good. God's going to get his attention. Well, we have people today that are coming forth and proclaiming part of the Word of God. They are proclaiming that Yeshua is the Messiah or Jesus is the Messiah. They are teaching some truth. It's not 100% lies, but it's all mixed in, and it causes problems. The word of Satan is spoken by many people that have a relationship with God, and the word of God says so. Even we just talked about Balaam. That was one example. John said this. He said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." If we're supposed to test the spirits, that means we will hear different spirits. It is not a sin to have Satan talk to you. It is a sin when you listen to him and when you pay attention to him and when you follow him. And here's the problem. We don't know the difference. Yeshua said they will hear my voice and they know my voice, but many of us don't know his voice because we don't know the word of God. We must learn to differentiate between these voices if you're going to finish the race successfully. And hopefully, everybody here, that's what you want to do. Satan comes around reminding us of all the things we could have in the world, just like he probably did to Balaam. I mean, who knows what happens? We know he walks away following the word of God, and a few chapters later, he's convinced the king of how to trap Israel. What happened? We don't know. It's not recorded. But somehow, someway, probably Satan came whispering in his ears, you know that reward that you were offered? That's a massive amount of money. I got an idea. And what did he do? His heart was far from God. His heart was after the things of this world. His heart was after the greed and the profit. And we know what happens. We have another example in Acts chapter 8. We have Simon the magician. A magician is just another word for divination, sorcery, witchcraft. He practiced all those things. But in verse 13, he says, after hearing the preaching of Philip, that he committed his life to Yeshua. He gave his heart to Yeshua, and he was baptized. But a few verses later, he sees Peter laying hands on people, and he wants to be in on that. He's impressed by it, and he offers money for it. Well, Peter was pretty harsh with the guy. You know, I mean, we're thinking he's a brand new believer. Maybe Peter could have been a little bit kinder to him, but Peter's addressing his heart. Peter says, repent and pray if possible that in the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. So we have these examples of people who committed to the Lord in some level, maybe not fully, but in some level, but they're still hearing these other voices. And I would suggest to you, we got a lot of people sitting in this room that do hear the voices of the devil. He comes and tries to get us distracted and to get us off track, to get us to get away from the truth of God's word. Again, that is not a sin. But do you know the word of God well enough to know when the voice is from Satan or the voice is from the Father? Because that's going to determine whether you finish the race or not. The devil doesn't give up on you when you come to know Messiah. He just doesn't. He knew that Yeshua was the Son of the living God. Did he give up on him? He tempted him and tried to get him to turn over the king, you know, to take the kingdoms of the world he was going to offer him. He tried to get him to give up what he was trying to do. He tried to lead him astray, and he was unable to because Yeshua knew the word of God. How come we think it's no big deal for us to spend an entire week without opening the word of God once? Without spending time meditating on the word of God? How is that even a possibility in this day and time where we own Bibles in every room in our house? So what is the biggest source of divination in America today? Here we are in exile. And I believe part, if not most, of the answer is found in Jeremiah 14:14. It says, and the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and deceit of their own minds. Today, we have false prophets and false prophetesses speaking forth lying visions, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds every single week. Not just on Sundays, but on Saturdays. See, it's not this is not a Sunday thing or a Friday thing. This is everybody is involved in this. They're in every walk of life because Satan is not going to be given. Where does he spend most of his time, Satan? Does he spend most of his week hanging out with the people he already has? No, he spends most of his time going after the people of God. The ones who have the testimony of Yeshua and who actually keep the commandments. So you know where his primary focus is? On you. His focus is on the people like here, that are actually coming and worshiping on the holy Shabbat and who are trying to keep and follow the commandments of God. Secondarily, he's focused on the Sunday church because a lot of them do love God and a lot of them do keep most of the commandments, but he's going in the hierarchy of the ones that are going to be the most easy to persuade or the most influential if he can get them to go with his side. So you got to understand that you have a target on your chest. And with that target, it's a great honor. I believe the Father is saying, listen, you want to get to know me? Let's spend some time together. Let's get close, because Satan will have no effect on you if you get close to the Father. Lying visions, worthless divination, and deceit of our own minds. Let's talk about just a few people in this country. And the reason I'm going to do it, and some of you aren't going to like it, I'm just going to tell you up front, but you got to hear me out and at least examine the evidence before you get mad at me. When I was first saved in the early 80s, I believe it was late 83, there was a man named Benny Hinn. And when he started out, then everybody go, oh, he's a demon. In the 1980s, most of what he was speaking was the Word of God. You know, and I believe he probably started out a different man than he ended up. And because I do believe in giving people the benefit of the doubt. I heard him in the 80s, and I actually enjoyed him in the 80s. Now, I was young. I was a new believer. Wasn't very seasoned. I wasn't very discerning. But he was speaking some really good things. And the most I knew was it lined up with the Word of God. Now, he did tap into the Kundalini spirit of Hinduism, which we know is false. But you know how many other pastors have been doing that for hundreds, if not thousands of years? Most of them do it and they don't even know. But as the 90s came around, we saw a remarkable change in him. The change came about for probably many reasons, of which I probably don't know the real answers. But Benny Hinn's ministry became an empire. He prophesied in the early 1990s that by the end of the 1990s, all the homosexuals of the world would be burned with fire from the God and completely destroyed. He had another time where he spoke on TBN. He spoke on TBN many times. And he said that the Trinity, each part of the Trinity has its own Trinity. And he basically taught that there were nine parts to the Godhead. Then he claimed on TBN that on an upcoming trip to South Africa, Jesus would appear on stage with him. Of course, Jesus missed the memo and didn't show up, but that's a whole nother story. Yet today, 2022, tens of thousands of people follow him and love him and think he is the most holy man that ever walked. Some of the people that I listened to when I first became a Christian, they were the anchors of my early faith. You know, I listened to the John MacArthurs and the Chuck Swindolls, and I listened to Charles Stanley, and I listened to Kenneth Copeland. And I thought these guys were mighty men of God at that day and time. I didn't know any better. I just knew that most of what they were saying was from the Word of God. Then I started digging a little further. Kenneth Copeland taught that Adam was the incarnation of God. I don't know where that came from. It's not in the Bible. He also taught that Jesus died on the cross, true, went to hell, became a demon, and then 3 days later he was born again. Further, he claimed that Jesus was not God in his early life. He was just a man, and he came here to save us from our sins, which is not so far out there. This is the same man that's had demonic possessions that we can see that are on video, and he's the same man that drank some of his own blood and somebody else's blood. Yet, he has millions of followers, and he's built an empire that follows in the spirit of Balaam. Millions and millions and millions of dollars, 6-7 homes, 2 jets and 1 airplane, a prop plane. This is what Balaam was going after, the riches of the world. And this is what, and you know, I'm not picking on one guy or two guys. There are hundreds, if not thousands, just like this. But yet we worship these people. Why? Because they had one prophetic word that was actually right? Do you realize that when you see these psychic hotlines on TV, and I don't see it anymore because we don't have TV, but I used to see these commercials, psychic hotlines. You know what? They have an actual annual contest that produces the Psychic of the Year. Are you guys aware of this? Every year they have Psychic of the Year. You know what wins the Psychic of the Year? Usually about 4% accuracy on your predictions. Those are the best of the best. But it proves this. Even a false prophet can be right sometimes. So why do we follow all this stuff? It doesn't line up with the Word of God, but we follow it. And when you get deeper and deeper into this, you start to realize that very little follows what the Word of God has to say. The most dangerous of all false prophets today, and there's hundreds of people that practice this, are the ones that prophesy a gospel that cannot be found in the Bible. It is the gospel of me, myself, and I. See, God wants you to be awesome. He wants you to be successful. He desires the best for you, Ellen. He wants you to be amazing, Scott. Jim, you are so amazing. You're gonna make all kinds of money because God wants you to be just loaded. It's the gospel that is involved with you, yourself, and you. It's just all about you. Everything is about what God can do for you. It's like he's your little genie in the bottle. What can he do for me? And we've been trained across America to accept this. Now, this is not just the prosperity gospel. We all kind of come to the realization that was false. Even Jim Baker, as much as he struggled in his walk and in his life, he even came to the knowledge that that was a false gospel. And he said, I repented because I have caused so many people to err in that sin. But we've been trained across America that the success of the ministry, the success of whether it's online or an in-person place, is all based on numbers, haven't we? We've been trained that way because how in the world could somebody have 5,000 people coming if it wasn't a blessing from God? How in the world could this person be so wealthy if God hadn't blessed them? How could they have so many followers on YouTube if God wasn't in it? It's easy. Because God is not in it. And Satan has involvement in it. And Satan is causing all these people to be drawn to it because he wants everybody to be outside of God's kingdom. Yeah. It has to be God's blessing if there's a number. And I'm going to explain to you why scripturally that's not true. But we always say, but Tom, come on, if that many people are going, it's got to be great. No, it means he's a charismatic speaker. He's hired great musicians. Whatever the thing is, what is the book now? How to Grow a Church for Dummies? I don't know, whatever they say to do. We don't have dry ice here. I told you it was a mistake, Jim. Look, we could have had 60 by now, Jim. Outside of Yeshua, Moses may be the most influential teacher, prophet that ever lived. I mean, I don't like to rank them, but I'm just saying he's high up there if he wasn't number one, right? He's a pretty amazing guy. Even the Jewish people hold him in probably the highest level standard. Of course, they don't, hold Yeshua in a high level. But Moses, as great as he was, as humble as he was, it says he never took a single thing from the people. He was given 600,000 men to come out of Egypt, and he got two of them into the promised land. Balaam does a little creative thinking, and he gets 24,000 people into his father's kingdom, death. His father, of course, being Satan. You see, the numbers are always going to favor the false gospel, the false religions, the false pastors, the false prophetesses, prophets. It's always going to be that way. Yeshua himself taught a very hard teaching at the end of his ministry or somewhere near the end. It was a tough teaching, and they all left. It says many disciples walked away from him at that point. He turned to his 12. He says, are you guys offended too? Are you taking offense? Are you going to leave? See, the Western mindset is devoid of scriptural evidence. It's all about numbers equate success. And that's true in the business world, but since when did the covenant of God and the Bible, when should that have been wrapped up into business? See, ministries have become businesses. Now, I'm fully aware that the lights and the air conditioning are not free, but they've become businesses. And if you take a hard look at what money is used for, in the vast majority of places, it's corrupt. it's a reality. Offense is a whole other subject, but he asks his disciples, are you offended too? You know what? Because the number one reason people leave and run off to another fellowship or go somewhere else is because they got their little feelings offended. You know what? I heard somebody say one time, if you're offended, that's because you have no relationship with the Father and you're just trying to build a relationship with people. People will offend you all the time. The Father will never offend you, but he will discipline you because he loves you. But see, discipline produces offense in a lot of people. So, all false prophecies, all false religions, lying visions, and thoughts of our own mind are things that are not found in the Bible. We find them in the Bible as examples of wrong, but they're not things that we're told that we should do. They are not found just on Sundays or Fridays. They're found on Saturdays as well, because there are people in the Messianic walk, and I'm not sure if it's any better than the rest of the world, that are so bent on disobeying God's word and just following for their own gain. And I'm not sure that it's any better. We have a whole new generation, maybe two generations, of people who have been taught by these schools of false prophecy. Anybody ever heard of that? You're like, you can go to this guy's class and for, you know, 6 months you go study under him and he'll teach you how to be a prophet. I'm here to tell you there is no such thing as a prophet if he's not called from God. They can be taught how to be a prophet, but you're going to have to put his first name in front of it. And that's false. These schools teach people, always encourage them. Tell them how much God loves them. See, now, here's the problem. The fact that God wants us to encourage one another and that God does love us, that is a reality in the scriptures. But if that's the only thing that you're ever given, if that's the only thing that's ever spoken to you, if you don't ever get the other side of God, that he's a just God, that he's righteous, and he's jealous, and that he wants all of your attention, if you don't ever get the full picture of God, you're getting a partial God. You're getting a false God. Because a partial God is a false God. Tell them how much God wants to bless them. Tell them there's no consequences because Jesus paid the price for them. I mean, the nonsense we hear today, and it's just getting worse and worse. How about this one? You ever heard this in fellowships? Oh, we need to all be led by the Spirit. There's no structure. Ooh, where is the Spirit taking us today? They are being led by a spirit, but it isn't God's spirit. Because God is a God of structure. He is a God that is a God of order. And even Paul commanded that the elders of the church were to organize things and oversee the fact that they didn't want the churches to become disorganized, a mess, and have a bunch of people just spewing out of their mouths every 5 minutes. Perhaps the Messianic community has perfected the art of this type of chaos, because I see it all over the place. So, more importantly, how do we avoid this? How do we avoid it ourselves? Because, sure, I could tell you the simplest way is learn the Word of God. But how about between here and there? Because learning the Word of God inside and out is really a lifetime. Now, you can get a really good hold on it in a few years. But learning it completely is going to take a lifetime. So what can we start with? I'll just give you some advice. I'm not telling you that this is the only way, but I'm just going to tell you these are some things that you might want to consider. One, if the message makes you feel comfortable and feel good, it may be a false message. Not always, but it may be a false message. If the message does not convict you or make you to want to change, it's probably going to be a false message. If the prophecies do not require obedience and submission to God and his authority, it's going to be a false message. See, there are certain things in the scriptures that cannot be changed. And when a prophecy comes along or a teaching or a word from the Lord that doesn't line up with the scripture, you need to know better and you need to say, no, I'm not listening to that. See, Ron Dart said this. He said, the objective of false prophets and teachers, of whatever stripe they come from, is to influence and control the minds of men. In other words, they are working on behalf of their father, the devil, and they are creating their own little kingdoms after the error of Balaam. See, the New Testament prophetic scriptures tell us that people will heap up for themselves teachers that tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear, right? We all know these scriptures. It says that they will not endure sound doctrine any longer. They will give themselves over to these false teachers, false prophetesses for what feels good. Because as we get more and more depraved in this country, and if you don't think that's happening, just open your eyes for a little bit. You're missing what's going on because God is actually punishing you if you give yourself over to this stuff. It's your choice, but he's told us ahead of time. When God gives a prophecy of what's going to happen, it's kind of like the blessings and the curses in Deuteronomy. He doesn't want to curse you, but he says, look, you're automatically bringing it on yourself if you decide to go down this path. Well, it's no different right here. If you decide to go down the path of heaping up for yourselves teachers that aren't going to tell you the truth, they're going to tell you what feels good, they're going to always coddle you and kiss you and, you know, if that's what you go after, I'm going to give you over to the curses that are going to come from that. And those curses are going to be, probably end up, you're going to end up dead. You're going to end up outside of his kingdom because it doesn't matter that you keep the Shabbat or you come on a Saturday if you're not doing anything else. See, the Shabbat is an important part of the law. It is an important, weightier matter of the law, but it's not the whole law. See, we're supposed to be keeping God's instructions because we love him. We're supposed to be keeping all of the instructions of God that we can here in exile. So it's not one thing that will keep you out or get you in. It's a heart. It's a heart issue. And if your heart is saying, well, I just don't want to follow that, or I don't want to do this or that, I'll do that. That's easy. If we go through and pick out the scriptures that are easy, all we're doing is the same thing the rest of the world's doing. You know, well, I'll follow this Jesus guy as long as it's easy, as long as there's nothing required of me, as long as there's no cost. See, it's a gospel of there is no cost. Cheap grace. The problem is that goes against everything that our Messiah taught. See, Satan knows that the easiest way to get us is just to slightly twist the word of God. And you might say, well, Tom, you know, you guys talk about this all the time. And I'll talk about it as long as you choose to come here. Because I have only one goal here, and it's to keep you on the narrow path. The narrow path is not 400 feet wide, folks. It's a narrow path. Felix Wantong, I don't even know who he is, but I like the quote, so I'm going to tell you it is. Wantong, I'm not sure. He said this, atheists are not the enemy. The real enemy knows Jesus Christ. Satan and all false prophets know this very well. They know that he came from heaven, that he was the Son of God, but they reject him anyway. So here's the problem. The people that I'm referring to, that I'm talking about, that I've mentioned already, they don't deny Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. They don't. These religious people, these Christians, these messianics, they're not denying that Yeshua or Jesus was the Messiah. They rather deny the life that Messiah commanded they live. See, this is what we don't understand. Denying Yeshua is not a verbal saying, no, he's not God, he's not the Savior. Denying him is basically refusing to live the life he commanded that you live. And if we are not willing to do that, we have denied him whether we want to admit it or not. So it's up to you. It's up to you. Do you want to repeat history or you want to learn from it? This was 3,500 years ago, 3,400 years ago. It's written down for our benefit. We're supposed to learn from it. We're supposed to avoid the mistakes that many of the people that we read about in our scriptures made. Balaam is the story of a corrupt man that knew God in a more intimate way at some level than many of us. I mean, look, you know, I've had one or two visions, and I've had God speak to me once or twice in my life. I've never had him give me an entire prophecy over a whole group of people. I mean, what Balaam received from the Father, the Almighty, and I've never seen an angel, much less one with a sword drawn. I've never had a donkey talk to me. He saw all that, but yet he ran after the error of gain and sin. And are we any better as a people? Too many people are running after the next latest and greatest ministry. They're running after all things that are not found in the Word of God. They want the new exposed. Who has the new secrets? I'm telling you, you read all the prophets, they're telling you the same thing. None of them was given a new revelation. It was all the same thing. It was return to God with all your heart. Return to His Torah. Follow His instructions. Love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And they were all looking forward to the Mashiach that would come, that would cleanse their sins forever. They just didn't see it when He came. But it's your choice. Because the false gospel is so much more appealing to the flesh. It's easy. You don't have to do anything. Look, and if you're watching Joel Osteen, it's like an 8-second prayer. You know, if you watch some other pastors, they may tie you up for like 30 to 60 seconds. He's 8 seconds and you're done. You're golden. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Amen. That's it. I don't pick on a lot of individuals and purpose, but some make it too easy. They broadcast their paganism everywhere. Had he decided to come around just as a self-help guru, we would have said, well, what a great guy. He's like Tony Robbins. He really makes you feel good, you know? But as a preacher of the Word of God, give me a break. See, the world has seen one too many Balaams. And the only thing we can really do is make sure that we are not deceived by the same spirit that went out from Balaam that is going out all across America today and the internet. They were deceived as they were in the wilderness heading towards the promised land. And we don't know the exact timeline, but I feel like they're getting pretty close. I think we got two more portions in Numbers, and then we head into Deuteronomy, which is right all a discourse in one day, right before Moses is going to die, and then you know Joshua's going to take over. So they're within a couple months of going into the promised land. Probably almost all the people have died off that were not going to make it. Now 24,000 people die. We don't know if some of those would have been going into the promised land or not. My assumption, and I know assumptions can get you in trouble, is many of them probably were. They weren't like the last 24,000 holdouts that had remained to die before the Father could take them into land. I believe many of the newer generation were caught up in the sin. And they died. They never got to see the promised land. But they were headed to the promised land. They were close. It was not far. You don't think they were counting the years in the desert? It's 39 and a half years, Ellie. We just got 6 more months to go. Yet they fell. Well, guess what? We're heading to our promised land. That's the whole point of this series I've been doing about the desert. From acceptance of Yeshua at Passover to receiving the Holy Spirit at Shavuot. And now we are going through the desert and we're trying to get to our promised land, which is going to be the fall feasts. You're not promised tomorrow. Are you going to make it until your final day, whether that is when Yeshua shows up or not? We don't know. It's your choice. See, God desires that you seek Him with all your heart, but many people will not do that. They refuse. So as we head to the promised land, the final question is this. Which spirit are you going to listen to as we make this journey together? Let's close in prayer. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for these passages that you wrote down and recorded of our forefathers in history so long ago. If we just had ears to hear and a heart to really want to learn your ways, Father, we would take these messages and we would apply them to our hearts and our lives today. May we have a heart that seeks you and your truth only. May we turn away from the wickedness of the world. May we turn away from the false prophets and prophetesses that give us 5, 10, 20% truth. They give us 90, 95% truth. Father, if there's anything that is not true of them, if there's anything that is not of you, not of your word, let us run the other direction as fast as we can, Father. Let us stay purely committed to you, your word, what you have instructed us, and let us love you with all our heart in doing so. Father, we cannot do this alone. We need your spirit leading us and guiding us. But Father, that requires some input and some action on our part. Give us a heart to want to get to know you so that we can be led by your spirit. Give us a heart to want to study your word so we can discern the difference between the lying spirit and your spirit. Your spirit always wants what's best for us And that sometimes means discipline and growth and pain and challenges. It's not always supposed to be great and rosy. But we know in the end it's for your benefit, because you will bring us to your kingdom where we will have none of this nonsense that we have to deal with. So, Father, let us submit to you willfully. Let us submit to you cheerfully, knowing that even when times are challenging and tough, it's because you're working a good work in us, Father. We praise you, we worship you, because there is nothing else on this planet worth praising except you alone. You are our God. You are our Savior. And you are the one that we will worship, Father. We give you thanks and praise in Yeshua's name. Yivarekeka Yehovah v'ishmereka. Yair Yehovah p'navalecha v'huneka. Yisa Yehovah p'navalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. So I